Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
And this week, boys and girls, we're going to do something very special for John, because we love him so. We're going to have an all DC episode talking about the DC CW show.
You lie.
What do I lie about?
You lie. You lie. You lie like the dog you never had.
Well, but he's not lying about you. The theme, but he's lying about the intention.
Well, that's true. No, wait, what are you saying? We don't love John?
No comment.
You're saying love is a strong word?
Love is a strong word.
Okay.
Palette is probably a better verb in this context.
Why am I hearing Danger Will Robinson in the background? Let's move on to the next art. Yeah.
So obviously if you're paying attention to the themes of things that we like on the show, I don't know why you wouldn't be, then we're talking about the four premiering TV shows on CW this season.
Yes.
Those are the only DC shows that matter to us.
Well, they're the only DC live-action shows on TV.
The only right DC now. Superhero live-action shows on television.
Yes.
That's true.
We've already established it's not a superhero show, that other show.
Yeah. Because a show about just supervillains would be just stupid.
It would be dumb. I mean, at least it's not a movie about super.
That's
That would be even worse.
Yeah.
Oh, so anyway, moving right along. Maybe what are we going to start with? We're going to start with everyone's favorite show.
Which one's that?
Flash.
Oh, okay. I can start with that. Okay, so spoilers.
He's fast.
So director Simon Winsor did a very good job. Writer Monty Merrick is excellent, and the horse lives. Just the spoilers.
What?
I'm not even sure at all what you're talking about.
I have no.
Flash, 1997 by Disney, right? Isn't that was in the, it was in the email.
Boy.
No, Flash
it was
TV
in the
show.
Email. You said Flash. It's in the
Barry.
Pull up the obscure reference. No, we are talking about The Flash. The
2014. Right, right. So John Wesley Shipp has done really good. Amanda Pays plays a great scientist.
They are both on the show. That is accurate information so far, John.
How about Grant Gustin?
Who?
So
Cisco Ramon.
So season three. We came back from Flashpoint.
Yeah, and boy, that. Not
boy, are his arms tired.
All right, let's get right into this. They had the chance to do so much more with this, and they didn't.
Yeah, I honestly think that I don't know what their intentions were really.
They had a show. They thought there was going to be a whole bunch of stuff, and then at the last minute they changed their mind.
I almost feel like they wanted to shake things up. And they weren't sure how to justify it. So
That was more like a quiet rattle.
Well, here's the thing, okay? And yes, I'm going to defend Flash. It could have gone one of a couple ways. In the fact that they could have come back and stretched out Flashpoint for, let's say, half a season. Or even, the first four episodes. But then it probably would have felt stretched out over 4 hours. I think what they did is they resolved the alternate timeline quickly, but
and
they gave
using
us
it as an they're using it as a new villain of the week generator.
And yeah. Yes and no, because they're saying they're showing you there were long lasting effects from that change that even Barry isn't aware of all of them. And yes, they are using it as a villain of the week generator, but it affected a lot of the main cast.
Well, here's my
I don't
theory.
Care. I don't see Supergirl in their universe. So that
I don't think we're going to really. Here's my theory. I think that they knew they wanted to do the Alchemy storyline, and they knew they wanted to have him be sort of a big bad for the season that would create other bad guys for the Flash this season. Because to an extent, like, for the most part, if there were people who've been affected by the Star Labs incident, you'd think that ripple effect would have borne out its fruit by now. Like, there wouldn't be a lot of people still coming out of the woodworks with powers as a result of that directly.
Right, but they've already established that that wasn't the only thing that was generating people. I mean, they've established the idea that there are other metahumans besides those that were created by the blast.
Right, but I'm saying I think that they wanted to have some mechanism to create additional villains more quickly and easily and not have to explain them as much on one-off basis. And Alchemy gives them, but without having Flashpoint as sort of an explanation of the existence of Alchemy, would have been confusing for viewers, I think. To have Alchemy just show up this season cold would have thrown people, I think. So they justified his existence through Flashpoint.
Right. It would have been Frosty. A chilling Frost. Anyway.
That said, I'm still not, like... like, I get why they only spent one episode on the Flashpoint version of reality. Because if you got too committed, too entrenched with any version of the characters, makes it even more confusing when they shift gears again.
No, but see, I don't think it was. I think they made it more confusing by using Flashpoint to generate Alchemy. I mean, it still doesn't explain where he came from. You know,
I think it was. Let me give me a second. He had a moment with Jay Garrick, where he was talking about the fracturing of the universe from continuing to try to fix things. Mm-hmm. You know, use the mug analogy.
Right.
And I think that's the explanation. That's the reason that Alchemy was allowed to happen, because those fractures cause more than just, you know, those tarnishes on the timeline. It also weakens those barriers between those different realities, those different alternate timelines, so that Alchemy could transcend them.
Yeah, but they could have just stuck with the fact that Dr. Alchemy's biggest weapon, the source of his powers, is the Philosopher's Stone. They could have just had him find the Philosopher's Stone and become Dr. Alchemy. You know,
I'm not convinced they'll have that be his power set, or at least as an explained version of his power set in this show.
Right. All right, and the thing is, it's the whole butterfly effect concept, where, you know, you go back in time and you step on a butterfly and have...
Wait, we're going to kill our butterflies?
Great effects on the timeline in the future, and the fact that, you know, he went back to the moment of his mother's death, and even though he said it, he created the same outcome, he still changed things, because... Right.
There were still tiny little ripple effects that you couldn't possibly... Right.
You can never put the atoms back to where they started from once you enter the new universe and spread them out from where your body's displaced them. It's there's no way to revert any change. You can kind of guide it back, but it's never going to be the same.
So there's also the fact that it wasn't the same. Like, even though he took Reverse Flash back, allowed him to kill his mother in an effort to reset the timeline, it still wasn't the same, because Reverse Flash didn't, as far as we know, didn't go off and assume the identity of Harrison Wells as he did initially. That may not have happened, in which case, you know, because he's now bouncing around the timeline as one of the soon-to-be Legion of Doom, so presumably that's what gave him the wherewithal to do so. That ripple effect is why I think we see a lot of the changes to the timeline now.
Right, and you also don't know...
Well, he was still Dr. Wells, sorry. He was still Dr. Wells, because...
You don't know that, though.
Yeah, well, because they've already made mention, reference to Dr. Wells being evil before. I mean, so he may not have gone directly to that now. Now he's going to bounce around the universe before he hits that, but he still did do
it's
that.
It's still a plot hole at the moment.
Right. And again, they're also still planning a big four series crossover.
Yep.
They might show the Reverse Flash going back and somehow doing something that is what creates Alchemy. Mm. We don't know. Maybe what they're searching for is the Philosopher's Stone. Remember, they were looking for something?
Yeah. You mean the Legends of Tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, they were looking for the, you know, the X, do X, you know, MacGuffin thing. Yeah. The do X McMuffin.
So, yeah. So we don't know where that's going to be.
Yeah, me too. So we do have these ripple effects. We have a killer frost on the rise, essentially. I mean, very subtle. We haven't really gotten into it yet, but she's used her powers at least once in the episode with the Mirror Master. And we saw a foreshadowing of them towards the end of Magenta.
Go ahead. Here's a question about that. Do you think they will have this version of her become evil?
No.
I hope not.
The fans would crawl all over that. They would revolt.
I'd be so much happier if they had her, and I'm sure they'll make it a whole CW moment if they go this way, of like, you know, her struggling with that, you know, because every version of her with powers ends up being bad. Like, will she, you know, what does she do with this? Is it possible for her to have these powers and not be bad? You know, and I think, you know, it'll be a rallying of her friends around her to convince her that, you know, she has control. She doesn't have to go down that road, and they'll be there for her through all this.
She'll open an ice cream shop.
Well, she could use her powers for good.
Yeah, like ice cream.
That is a worthwhile pursuit. Everyone likes ice cream.
Right. I mean, and it's the whole, because Caitlin saw herself on Earth 2 as Killer Frost and she was evil, she has convinced herself the powers are going to make her evil, and that's why she's not telling anyone yet. But it just seems like a dangerous game, you know, for her to be playing.
Yeah, and it does seem like a myopic view for her. That's an optometrist joke, by the way.
A what?
I got it. Joke grenade. You gotta set a quicker timer on those.
Yes, but that was kind of funny. That was kind of funny. Right, a myopic view. But anyway.
Overthink it. Don't look at it too closely.
I forgot in the Flashpoint timeline she was an optometrist.
Yeah, that was a funny little.
But, oh crap, what was I going to say now? Oh.
Stuff about things.
Because, like, we already did this last season when Cisco started realizing he had powers.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, why are we repeating the same idea now? Unless she does become evil somehow.
I think there's a theme for the CW shows this season. And that theme is team building and training. It's rookie season across the CW.
It is. It literally is. You're right. I didn't even think of that.
Okay.
Well, except for the Legends of Tomorrow, but...
No.
They got rookie heroes in Legends as well.
Well, they're still... I was alluding to the fact that they still all act like rookies.
Well, that's true. They've pretty much always been rookies.
They're the team building part.
But they're building on multiple levels. You know, building... Well, we'll get to that in more depth when we get to that show.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, but... we'll see. So before we get off of the Flash, what do you
Speaking
guys?
Speaking of getting off of the Flash, I do have a quick thing. In the one episode where I have to admit I was only like half watching a couple of the times, where Jesse Quick was zooming around with Wally. Mm-hmm. Was she carrying him on her back?
They never showed that I saw.
Right. Like, how is he keeping, you know, moving around with her exactly?
I was assuming that she was grabbing him and picking him up while holding his head so he didn't break his neck from whiplash.
Only Quicksilver has to do that. In this world, it seems to be not an issue for them to run around.
Without
proper neck support.
Damn McMuffins.
Actual physics doesn't mean anything in this world.
Right.
But besides that, yeah, because they never explain when Barry picks someone up and runs.
He also never explained when he literally ran through the sky to stop a whirlwind.
He grabs Iris and just starts running, you know, so it's like...
Yeah, since when could he run on air? That's true.
Well, since the end of season one when he had to close the wormhole.
Yeah, but he was running up debris. They made sure to show that he was jumping on...
For a moment.
Yeah.
They sort of jumped that shark pretty quickly after that in season two.
You know what this is? This is the Supergirl effect. Soon he'll be snapping power lines necks and beheading boats.
Dude, they already froze lasers. It's that shark report.
I know.
It jumped several times.
Can you guys?
Has Supergirl done anything stupid this time? I I seem to remember something stupid happening, and I know it's gone from my head.
We'll get to that in a second.
We'll get to that. Yeah, it's down the road.
What was I going to say? Yeah, well, anyway, before I say that, again, suspension of disbelief, guys. Just get your actual physics out of your head and just let it go.
There's only so much of that you can take, though.
So what about the concept of them needing a Wells on the team?
Yeah, that bugged me. Like, that specifically, like, the fact that, like, I don't disagree with the idea that they need someone to be their Overwatch of sorts. You know, they need someone to be the, and most of the time that's Cisco, but honestly, I'd like to see Cisco doing more field work, and I'd like to see Caitlyn doing more field work as her powers.
Well, not just that, but have them grow. Have them grow as characters to take that place.
Right. Well, they keep eating all those McMuffins, they'll grow.
But I mean, you're dealing with a room full of geniuses, essentially. They're all smart people. Mm-hmm. You know, Barry's no slouch. Cisco's, you know, brilliant. Caitlin is brilliant. There's no reason any of them can't fill in that gap. Yeah. And so I don't think they explicitly need a Harrison Wells, per se. The Harrison Wells speed dating idea was just a little on the ridiculous side.
Well, it's a little bit on the kidnappy side, too. I mean, you know.
And B, why was this guy so ready and willing to leave his known reality?
Exactly.
And C, why didn't they take the mime? Oh, wait.
No.
The one they passed over was like a Western steampunk type dude. The mime was the one they took.
No, it wasn't. No, they did not take the mime.
There was a mime?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there like a mime world?
Oh, we'll never know.
The steampunk one is from the from Earth 19. That's the one where they had the Dark Knight series about him, but in kind of not a post-apocalyptic, it was a pre-industrial society. Gotham by Gaslight, that's it.
That makes sense.
What I'm reading is correct. It's the same Earth. It's just steampunk, and their technology is way behind. But so, it's still weird, because even if their technology was that far behind, then he shouldn't be as advanced as they'd need.
Right. He wouldn't have been able to detect that signal and send back an answer.
Yeah. And to go back to Ben's point, oh, look, it's a Wells. Oh, you want to come with us? Yay. All right, here we go. It's like, there could be a little bit more vetting. Also, you're taking a Wells away from another Earth where you know that it'll probably screw up their timeline. And what the hell?
And also, why isn't there, you know, in a planet full of 8 billion people, there's not another brilliant mind somewhere on the planet that could join the fold?
Right. Why did it have to be a Wells from another Earth? I know the real answer is Kavanaugh still has a contract, but
do spotty appearances like Calista Flockhart.
Right, exactly. Like, why couldn't they just have him come over from Earth 2 when they really needed him?
Or come up with a way to have a comm line open between the dimensions.
Right.
So he could literally phone it in? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That's exactly what I'm saying. He could hologram it in.
Hologram it in. Exactly. They already showed they could do two-way communication between the worlds, so that's all they needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think the best way the writers could have handled this is to let Cisco grow into, you know, a more leadership role, or let Barry take over, you know?
As long as he doesn't go full CEO, because we know he can be a little dickish in that.
Yeah, but he gets the babe, so, you know.
That is true.
But he needs to go and be Vibe, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, which means he has to die someday, you know. And then be constantly brought back to life by supervillains, only to die quickly and horribly again.
Yeah.
Is he the DC version of Vision?
No, it's much worse than Vision. Because at least when the Vision is back to life, he's awesome and powerful.
Right.
Vibe was neither of those things.
Poor
seriously, I think they hated him. I think they hated his character so much that they just kept bringing him back to life so they could figure out other ways to kill him off again, just for the writer's pleasure. Maybe it was part of their contract. Like, we want you to write for this comic book. No, I don't think you get to kill. You'll get to kill Vibe again. Oh, all right, sure, yeah. Kind of the perks of writing for DC.
Probably.
Probably. Well, I think we hit all the targets that we had marked for the Flash. So maybe we move on to some of the other CW shows.
Did you suck.
You mean like a moving target or living target?
You suck.
Perhaps like
wait, a human wait, we're gonna do the human course. Target? Oh,
we are gonna
human target. That's the what I meant
not
to say.
The show. The show with.
I'm we not giving lost you. That
opening.
Yes.
Not giving you that opening. Nope.
Come on, the Human Target was a really good show. I don't know. They
I'm sure
they
it was.
It
so the Arrow back for season 5.
Yep.
And Sans
last season of flashbacks.
Crap. Yes. Last season of flashbacks. We finally see him in Russia. There's at least some degree of corollary effect between the flashback scenes this season.
And the team building, yeah.
And yeah. Definitely a team building year for Flash.
Yes.
Just like the Eagles.
It's bothering me, though. The guy, what's his name, who does Mr. Terrific?
Oh, yeah, Curtis. The
Yeah, Curtis. Curtis. They keep saying, oh, you know, he's Olympian, but he's not really, you know.
He's kind of had a cushy job for the past several years.
You got a guy with a hockey mask. You got a guy with a hockey mask who's got some fighting skills and lived in the hood. You got a guy with magic rags, Ragman, who actually that's one of the few comic books I've got number ones of. And then you've got, Baby Mockingbird or whatever.
Wrong universe.
Yeah, whatever. I know I'm screwing it up on purpose.
Black Canary.
But then you just like, hey, you nerd, come over here. We need four for some reason.
Well, he volunteered to be part of the team, and he's always sort of there's always been that scuttlebutt that he could end up becoming Mr. Terrific because his name fits the character.
You would assume that he would start becoming Mr. Terrific after he actually got the nanites that make him that.
Right, and that may be what we'll see driven through the season, that like he'll start off on the street level thug recruit. With the rest of these guys, but eventually at some point realize he needs to tech himself out more like, what's his face? Brandon Routh's character, the Atom.
You think he's just going to stumble into a vat of nanites?
No, I think he's going to work on...
Radioactive nanites, yes.
He's been working on tech before this season that I think maybe he could take his, take some time back in that, go back to the lab, work on some things, and have it actually evolve into him end up, whether it's literally like accidentally getting powers or literally like building himself technology to enhance himself is what I the way I see
right.
it. We have a building year for a team building year for Team Arrow. I don't know, it's an interesting season so far.
I find it fascinating in this sense. Okay, so why does he need a team?
Well,
why does Arrow need a team? Why does Flash need a team? I mean, I understand you don't want to have the hero only have talking lines with the villains, only have villain and hero banter. So he needs someone to bounce ideas off of. But like this idea that the Arrow needs a whole team. I mean, I guess from a realism standpoint, it makes sense that it's hard to do all the stuff by himself. But
sure.
Yeah, but why didn't he drop everybody else when he got the guy with the magic rags? I mean, okay, there's like, okay, you fight him. Okay,
you mean Ragman?
Yeah. It's like, they throw Mr. Terrific in. Okay, take shots to the head and, okay, Bruiser, you'll heal fine. You with the hockey mask, go ahead. Oh, man, you got your face beat off. That's fine. Yeah. You, Ragman, okay, you're stopping bullets. You're whipping people around like they're rag dolls.
Yeah, but they need Wild Dog to be willing to shoot people. They need to have that colorful variety in the team. And honestly, I think
the rags are very colorful if you watch them, really. Yeah.
It could be. But I think they established the reason early on in the season in the fact that their big bad of this season, Tobias Church, is that the guy? The guy who's rallying everyone together?
Yeah, how is that big bad? Wow, he's got brass knuckles. Oh, God,
doing,
I'm scared.
No, it's not because of that. It's that he's doing what none of the other villains, and mob groups thought to do, and that was really bring everyone together and work as a team against this threat. And that was the reason that, they teamed up. Therefore, Arrow needs to team up in order to defeat this larger threat.
Arrow should be able to take him down on his, there's, this is one of those things that I hate about lazy writing. It's like, okay, you've got this guy who's obviously got street smarts. He's fought on the streets. He's, you know, he's a crime lord. And he's got a wicked pair of brass knuckles. Yay. Oliver, on the other hand, could shoot him from a half a mile away with a freaking arrow.
Sure.
How is this guy still alive?
But see, I think that this is not a new theme, John. This is a theme they've been echoing for season after season after season. And that is that the arrow, as good as he is at what he does, he needs something to ground him. He needs to have other people as part of what he does, as part of his life, on multiple aspects of it.
And,
like,
and
he's not complete without having backup, and without having a family.
And I agree.
This is his family.
I agree. Problem being that if they had given him a better nemesis this season, it wouldn't look so stupid.
I don't think seeing his nemesis just yet, though. I think we're going to see his threats step up.
Well, right, and they kind of have to. I mean, after you want to follow last season with Damian Dark as the villain,
and go to just a crime boss, warm up,
which is also weird because now we're giving him teammates that have superhuman abilities, and yet last season none of them had superhuman abilities. Yet they went up against a villain with, you know,
yeah,
abilities with magic.
Well, he did get the present day Vixen in for one or two episodes. Remember.
Yeah, little cameos here and there, but I think that I think Dave's making a good point in that it's building to something larger, and we may see something larger out of this. Like we haven't seen the big bad of the big bad necessarily of this season. Yes, Tobias Church is pulling the strings,
but he's the one who threatened him.
Right, but he could end up pulling in larger forces and making this a more even playing field before the season's over.
Right. I mean, look at, to do another comparison, look at Luke Cage, you know, where had Cottonmouth for the most of the season as the big bad, and then all of a sudden, but yet they talked about, you know.
Right. And arguably, he should have been able to wipe the floor with all of them as well. You know, similar thing. He has superpowers. Luke Cage had superpowers. There's no reason he shouldn't have been able to clean up town, you know, in no time at all. But he did struggle with it, and he ended up.
Yeah, but
getting
hit
with a harder threat that made it more difficult.
Yeah, but first he's on the run and he's out in public, so he really can't just walk in and straight up murder the guy. But the arrow, okay, he might not. Oliver doesn't even have to, like, you know, kill him, but he could nail his ass to a wall from you know, a half mile away.
Sure.
Why doesn't he just do it?
Right, and even if he did kill him, he can just, you know, change the color of his hoodie and now he's someone else.
Yes, Black Arrow. No relation. Sorry. I will go out and catch him now.
I am the Blue Arrow.
Man. So
anyway.
We talking about Luke Cage now, or what are we doing?
We're not talking about Luke Cage.
We're still on the Arrow.
I definitely agree.
We're staying straight and true?
We are.
I definitely agree with Ben, as I think they're working up to something else. You know, again, something else that'll be a real threat to the team, you know, once they get cohesion.
Right, another speedster.
No, another archer. I got to keep you on target, John.
You were nowhere close to the bullseye with that.
Yeah. Well, they are introducing Prometheus this season as well as a challenge. And I did hear some inklings that they think that the actor who played Tommy Merlin might actually show up somewhere this season.
Oh, good. So we're doing zombies. Excellent.
Well, you know, there's still Flashpoint that could still have effect thing.
I know, but zombies
I mean, it randomly
really...
made Diggle's son male, which...
Yeah, I know. Zombies would really bring some life into this, okay?
It randomly made Diggle's son male? Hold on a second. I think we need to analyze that.
Did you miss that?
He had a daughter last season.
I know.
Now he has a son.
No, I know, but you said made his son male instead of made his daughter into a son.
Whatever. You knew what I meant. You're getting off target, Dave.
I got it.
So apparently you don't know the difference between genders, Ben, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, that's not what I'm saying. Just which pronouns you use in which places.
Don't listen to what he says. Hear what he hears.
Right.
Think what he thinks.
Yes. Oh, no, wait. No, don't do that. Don't. That would be bad.
By the way, the Felicity crossover in Flash did kind of confuse me a little bit, because it seemed like that was going to be the bookends for the episode, and it wasn't. It was just right. sort of a one-off thing. I think it was really the only reason they did it was so that we could see what the ripple effect was to the Arrowverse.
But it was also very short and kind of minor, like.
But it was cool. That's what he would do.
But it was set up in that kind of way that you think, all right, so this whole, we're going to see the story of what he's going through in this new, version of reality. And we're going to see it through the lens of him telling Felicity about these things happening. Right. And that was true for like a snippet of the episode, but it wasn't true for the whole thing.
Exactly.
It just feels like they dropped a ball there.
And that is, I agree there too. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
You know, and even if it was only a few other things that were revealed or something, it would have been better. But like, it felt like they kind of just threw it in to say, yes, Arrow's affected.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, but they've literally almost changed nothing else.
Right. There's been no other ripple effects that have become apparent so far. And probably that we'll never know. We'll never know if there are any others.
They should have killed Felicity off and had Oliver take 7 years off. Oh, wait. They already did that, didn't they?
Yeah, well. Mm. And, we know at least one universe has been immune to these Flashpoint effects.
And that's the Legends?
No, well.
Actually, technically, they are immune.
They technically kind of are, but there's no reason they should have been, per se. They're getting hit with the after effects of it.
Right.
But there's no before effects in the other universe because, they're just super that way.
All right. Supergirl. It's, no, they weren't affected.
And her amazing sidekick, Superman.
Before we get into that, they weren't affected by Flashpoint, but they were affected by moving networks.
Yes, they were affected by budgetary cuts.
Yes. Well, how
much of their budget was cut?
I don't know. Enough that they no longer operate the DEO out of a cave in Nevada.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, why did they give them a new office and a new set? Did the set belong?
Probably because they're filming now in Vancouver, and it probably would have been a more expensive set to reestablish. Not to say that we won't ever go back there, but they probably would have taken them more time to reset up their cave dwelling. So they so in the meantime, they set up an alternate location.
Right, and it was just like, we've always had this building.
Yeah.
Right.
In the middle of the city with people flying in and out of it, but nobody knows it's DEO.
Right.
Apparently nobody, looks up in the city.
The DEO seems like the worst kept secret in this universe, really. Like they're supposedly so secret an organization, no one even knows that the DEO is a thing. And yet, people keep, like in the episode with last week, where with the president, there was that other reporter who knew about the DEO as a thing.
Or not you mean,
no, the, no, no, the, no.
Investigator or whatever.
The detective. It was police detective.
Maggie Sawyer.
Yes. Right. And, and that was a cool effect, I will say that, where she pulls out her ID and she's holding it behind her back and it changes into a Secret Service ID.
Yeah, when did they get psychic paper?
Yeah, I was going to say, they stole that from the doctor.
Well, okay. So, maybe.
Although the doctor's is even better.
Yeah. Why is that?
Them what they think
it's literally a piece of paper. He doesn't have to come up with what it does. He just holds it up and people see on it what they want to see on it. So if they see him as like a concierge to the queen or whatever fits the scenario of making him seem like a valid authority to be there at the time.
That's
the whole point.
Oh, okay.
It's the doctor.
I mean, all of a sudden there is a new boss. I mean, not a new boss, a new place for the DEO and they act like it was always there. They introduced new characters.
Right.
And we lost a character.
Yeah.
Kara's got a new boss, although she had time for at least a cameo episode or two with a heartfelt goodbyes for her old boss. And
yeah, well, they given that this is the CW, they ended the relationship between her and James Olsen really quickly because the CW usually draws those things out like crazy. And in this case, it was like, whoa, I'm in love with you. Oh, I've changed. Oh, we're just friends. What happened?
Yeah. I'd imagine a lot of this more has to do with they thought it would be awkward to try to juggle that with the power dynamic of him taking over.
What do you mean awkward? That would be awesome.
I would postulate that that was CBS giving notes.
Sorry, just can't swallow that one.
that CBS wanted to force a relationship between the two of them.
Maybe.
Okay, I can understand that, but still, you have to deal with that. You can't just the next, unless Flashpoint affected them.
I think. Well, no, I don't think it did. I it's not like it's on. It's also Zach McMuffins. Supergirl.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said pause for a second.
So no, I said it's all those Egg McMuffins.
Yes. So it's not unprecedented for Supergirl and Jimmy Olsen to have a relationship. It's happened in the comics several times. So I don't see that. Like, it does seem weird to me that they would truncate that so quickly. My only guess is that because the CW likes to draw things out, they're like, wait. No pre-established romances. We need time to build this out on our own terms.
See, that would be stupid. That would just, they have this, nobody gets over it that quick, you know? I mean, they just like, they're so happy that they're friends now, and that's after an entire season of a lot of angst.
And what season of Arrow are we on right now?
5.
And how many times have Felicity and Oliver been together? And
then it took three seasons for that to build up and then fizzle.
That she had a thing for him even before he got there.
What?
There was a flashback in, I want to say, like, season 3, mm-hmm. where they alluded to, like, there was a point where Oliver was actually in Star City for a mission for Amanda Waller. And he ended up having to infiltrate his own building and trying to not cross paths with anyone there and not get noticed. And there was a scene with Felicity working in the office, and she had already sort of had a thing for Oliver, even though Oliver wasn't even thought to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying they like to draw these things out and convolute them as much as possible.
Yes,
right. And then they just ended this one because it wasn't theirs.
For now.
Yeah, but there's not for now. Like I said, it breaks nobody. Once they break that suspension of belief, it's hard to get it back.
I predict they're going to have something burgeon between her and Mon-El through the season that'll go back and forth as to how heavy it is. And that'll cause a reconciliation of, like, remembering or realizing she still has feelings for James and having that come up again. But he'll be involved with someone else, and that'll complicate things. That's the CW way of things.
Well, yeah, I mean, until Mon-El leans against a wall with lead paint on it and dies.
my issue is, you know, the guy decided to move to the city?
Metropolis? No.
National City?
National City.
Yeah.
Break up with his girlfriend, you know, to give them an opportunity to have a relationship. And then she's like, I've changed now. I don't want to be in a relationship. And it's just like...
Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee runs off, you know.
Yeah, and he's like, that's okay. Yeah.
They did go on, like, a date and a half. It wasn't, like, completely just gone.
What I'm saying is...
There was doe eyes for, like, three quarters of a season.
The average guy's reaction would not be, oh, okay, I understand.
That's just the way he is on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would have been like, yo, I turned my life upside down for you.
Yeah.
Right. That's not the kind of guy that she goes for, Dave.
Why did they bring Mon-El into this? I mean, I want to know reasons.
They want to alien it up this season. They're going full alien this season, all over the place.
Yeah.
Bringing in the aliens from every angle.
Yeah, but Lizzie, at least pick an alien that can survive handling something made in China. I mean, come on. It's like...
We've gotten really good at keeping lead out of most things. I think he'll be fine.
A slightly older crystal glass. I mean, you know, there's so many ways that he could die in this universe.
It doesn't mean he's going to die on contact with lead. He'll just react to it the way that kryptonite affects Kryptonians.
Yes, except for Daxamites, it builds up in their system and it doesn't wear off. So
if they will eventually die. If it's in a volatile form, lead crystal is not volatile. Lead crystal is stable.
Oh, it killed the Romans, so it would kill him.
Yeah, because they were drinking it as a sweetener.
Well, no, but
all their aqueducts were made out of it too. That did not help.
Sure the definite,
but they would sweeten their wine with it.
It's definitely the theme of the season. Like you were saying, Ben, alienating it up. They wanted, I guess, they wanted to give her
alienationing up.
There you go.
They're alienating everybody.
They're alienating everyone. Well, I guess they wanted to give more of a theme than just her trying to be okay with being a girl and being a superhero and coming out of the.
There has to be a meta level to that,
right?
Personally, at that bar, they should have had like a band in the background, a bunch of blue guys with like with horns, and then maybe a roguish guy in the corner with a blaster.
But the whole, I mean, that, I guess that's also kind of the other thing that bugs me a little is the whole, okay, now she's a reporter and, you know,
with no training
and no, whatever. And she's got this new boss who's a real hard nose.
Well,
and...
No. Cat Grant wrote reporter on her resume. Oh, well, so that makes her a reporter because Cat Grant is that awesome.
So that's now we have. Now we have every week her having to prove herself.
She may have as many McMuffins as she wants.
But now we have her every week again having to prove herself again. And it's just like, why? Like, you know,
They didn't change the writers, did they? Did they change the writers?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. Like, I haven't looked into it that closely, to be honest. But the writing staff on these things is an ensemble as it is. Like, there's... Every other episode is written by different writers.
Yeah, but normally the showrunner like at least keeps them in line with the overall arc and the
character. Right, right. The meta arcs.
It doesn't seem like the showwriter has any control at this point. It's just from one episode to the next, their characters are like completely changing, and the storylines are not.
I haven't seen flip flopping. I've seen consistency.
No, the character's consistent. It's just, it's the same story we had last year. Every episode, she's got to prove herself. And it's the duality of, oh, she's got her life together as Supergirl, and she has to get her regular life together. It's like, the average person's going, you're Supergirl. Who cares about your regular life?
Yeah.
And her cousin seems to have all these things worked out already.
Yes. He really doesn't.
But we haven't mentioned. I like this Superman better than I like any of the others, except for Christopher Reeve.
Okay.
Did I say something wrong?
No, I'm just thinking about it. I'm thinking about...
He's charming.
He's actually,
and yet,
yeah.
And yet
he's
klutzy.
Won me over. I will say that. He's kind of
No.
He's
a good
Superman. What?
The problem is, you like him better than Henry Cavill.
Yes, I do.
I think any other one else...
That's not a
if
problem.
Henry Cavill
that
smiled,
like
it'd
a...
break his face.
I mean, right. I like George Reeves better than Henry Cavill.
Okay, no, I keep the classic ones out, but Henry Cavill only has like two expressions, grim and grimmer.
I have not seen a grim face on this guy once.
Exactly, because that's the way Superman is, because nothing, literally almost nothing hurts him. So he's just there being a, you know, superhero. Yeah. And he's charming and klutzy, and I really like the way this guy's playing him.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of homage to Christopher Reeve, and I commend that because he was an exemplar for the role. You know, along those lines, I thought Brandon Routh had done a good job at it. The problem with that movie wasn't him; it was the writing.
Right.
But I like Brandon Routh in pretty much everything he's done. But yeah, definitely Tyler Hoechlin he's stepped into those red boots. And he's earned them. So,
right. But I mean, but again, getting back to the duality of the character, like they show him talking to his boss on the phone and having the same problems that his cousin did talking to her boss.
Yeah,
you know, like
parallelism. It's a storytelling device.
Right. No, and I agree with that. But like, but they're making it out like, oh, she's got to get her life together because her cousin has his life together. He's got a lot of the same problems. So it just it's. It's getting harder and harder to defend the show.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, what's her face? Luthor's sister, Lena Luthor.
Uh-huh.
In the words of one great American icon, evil. It's.
Yeah, and in fact,
I don't know. I'm willing to bet on her being on the defense per se.
You know, okay,
no,
so
now get Barnacle Boy over here because evil.
Okay, so
there's just no way.
I don't want her to be evil. I want her to be like Tess Mercer from Smallville. I want her to sort of ride that line and not really be fully evil or fully good. You know,
I think I see.
Be well intentioned.
We're not. I know. We're not talking about the episode that already aired this week.
But
there's a scene with her, with Supergirl, and or actually with Kara and Lena.
And that's all the spoilers we're getting. Is just there was that scene,
and okay. You get the distinct impression that they're trying to build the kind of relationship that Lex and Clark had in Smallville.
Oh, God, us, no.
So, well, Ben and I like Smallville, John. Shh. Where...
I'm sorry.
Where, you know, she starts out good-intentioned and, you know, but there's a reason that she got to where she is.
Yeah, she got driven and her good intentions went down that dark path. But, I'm willing to give it... I hope it's not so black and white. I hope that it's more nuanced, that they manage to keep it, you know, like I said, more complex. And that could be interesting. I do find it interesting, by the way, the fact that Wynn has gone full Cisco this season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every one of these shows needs their Cisco, Felicity, or Wynn.
Can we just say, as real computer guys, that... the type of hacking that these characters normally do is literally impossible.
Yeah.
There is no way any of these people hack that fast. There's just doesn't happen. Okay, we go for suspension of belief. That's fine.
The technology in these shows has never been realistic.
But now every character has to have like their own personal hacker. Is that like if you're a hero and you don't have a sidekick hacker, you're done?
Right.
No.
It's not
even... No, you gotta have it. It's a formula. Every show has to have their witness kitty.
It's not even so much the hacking. It's like the episodes when they're trying to locate someone and figure out where they're going. I'll just hack into the police, into the camera system. Okay, right. Fine. You can hack into the camera system. But, oh, now we know we can track the images, blah, blah. You'd have to set up an algorithm to do that. Face recognition software, and it would have to run through a bunch of routines, and unless you're on a Cray supercomputer, it's going to take a while to do that. It's like 2 seconds
later.
When
they do that, it's just going to spit out random social security numbers, and you're going to have to figure out what to do with those. And
you know who started this? This is Major Carter from Stargate SG-1. That's the first time I remember a character like that, where you always had the one character that figured out everything out.
And when Smallville had Chloe.
Yes.
Yeah, but Stargate came before that.
But what's even... Well, yeah, but Star Trek came before that, and they always had
Geordi. Yeah, that's true.
It's the Spock role, essentially.
Oh, wait.
Spock, yes, Spock role.
I was going to say, or Scotty.
Well, Scotty, he has much admitted, literally, in one of the movies, that, don't tell him how long it'll take. Tell him it'll take a half an hour... And if it only takes you 10 minutes...
That was Next Generation. That was when they brought him out of... I remember that episode. That was when he was in a transporter buffer.
Yep.
And, you know, and they rescued him from it, and he was working with Geordi in engineering, and he gave him that advice.
Yeah. If you think it's going to take 10 minutes, tell him a half an hour. If it only takes 10 minutes, you're a miracle worker.
But the and the issue is that they use this character, too. Like, when they need information... If they need it right now, the hacker can jump on the computer and get it to them in a minute. And then if they say they need the information at the beginning of the episode, it's going to take a while to run that, and they don't get it till hours later, halfway through the episode, because it depends on how the writer wants it to come.
It's just another McMuffin. That's all.
Look, yeah, it is. I mean, it really is. I mean, you have to realize there's only one show that any of us have ever seen on television that gets hacking right, and that's Mr. Robot. And
wait, what?
Mr. Robot. And no one wants to see that blended with one of these shows.
No, probably not.
Actually, that'd be kind of awesome.
It could be. Honestly, what I would want to see is one of these seasons, when all these guys get arrested because there's been a private detective on the police force investigating who keeps breaking into their CCTV feeds.
Well, actually,
I'm so hard at that.
Actually, they did. Awesome. They did try to mix hacking and these kinds of movies or shows, and we got The Matrix.
Yeah. No. Well, the. That was
The Matrix had some actual hacking in it. I remember articles being written about how they were so impressed with the actual real Linux commands that they had in some of the shots of, no, seriously, you know, but yeah. The other side, it's The Matrix, so you're allowed some suspension of disbelief, right, with the hacking because it's The Matrix. But well, I mean, on
of
these
course
shows,
there were Unix commands because you weren't going to have a self-evolving system of that complexity run off of a Microsoft system.
Oh God, well, no,
it must have been Microsoft because it turned immediately evil.
All right, so we're getting way off target here, guys.
Yes, we've gone way off the grid here, gone around the earth a few times.
So the only other thing, the only other things I would say is, number one, I thought it was weird how quickly Superman decides to leave. You know, at the end of the second episode, it was just like, yeah, all right, I'm leaving now. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. You said you're going to stick around. And it's Superman and Supergirl. No matter how far apart they are, they can see each other in a second.
Right. And the fact that he even needed to be, quote unquote, there. Like, I just assumed, until they addressed it at that point, I just assumed he was, you know, jetting over from Metropolis almost every time anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it's just kind of a way to address to the audience, like, I'm leaving for now, so I'm not going to be in the next few episodes. Right,
you're not
going to
see me in for a few episodes, so this is my my swan song.
But it's like, there was really no need to do that. It's just like, okay, oh, that was good working this time around. Just let me know next time you need me. That's it. Like, it didn't need to be, I need to go home for a little bit. Like, that was just stupid.
You know what we can all agree on about Supergirl right now? The writing still isn't as bad as that other show that shan't be named.
Well,
true.
Well,
I am curious about the whole alien president mystery.
Yes.
My current working theory is that maybe she is that white Martian we saw last season.
Yeah, but who knew that Wonder Woman was an alien?
Okay. Everyone listening?
I did the political parallels, though, in that episode.
Did you catch the thing with, you know, I can't believe you, I got to see Air Force One. Oh, if you think that's good, you should see my other. Yeah.
Right. Or how about Supergirl spinning to put the flames out?
Right.
That was good. Yeah. I caught that.
There was a lot of direct references.
Right. But there were also references to the current election, like her being the first woman president, and like someone mentioning it, like, well, I can't even believe anyone voted for that other guy.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure Trump supporters wouldn't be watching.
We agreed a long time ago to keep politics out of this show. Let's move on.
Dirk.
We can talk about that show.
The other thing I found that I'm finding interesting this season with Supergirl is her sister.
Alex,
yes, which...
Well, she wouldn't be interested in you because she's gay.
I was going to say, there was an article that came out right before the season started that said one of the major characters on one of the CW DC shows was going to come out as gay this season, but they wouldn't say who it was or what show the person was on. But obviously,
based on the show that I haven't seen.
Well, not only that, I mean, they've been hinting at it since the first episode this season,
I haven't picked up on that necessarily.
Yeah, well, they really heavily hint at it at the latest Supergirl that you guys haven't watched yet.
They hinted a little bit heavily on it the last episode because, she was, it was one of those weird moments where, what's the other actor, police girl?
Maggie Sawyer?
Maggie Sawyer. Yeah, Maggie Sawyer walks by and you could basically, you saw Kara's eyes move. You saw Alex's eyes move down, and you could see her thinking, "Ooh, dead ass." It just swear to God, that's what
I hadn't picked up on that.
No, just watch that scene again.
I believe you. I'm just saying I didn't pick up on it myself. I will admit that my eyes are often not always attached to the TV when I watch the show.
Ah, okay. Well, that's the whole thing is you need to be watching it because she hasn't said anything, but the way she's looking at people,
yeah,
which
but.
It's my loss.
But that's not canon. That character in the comic books isn't normally gay, I think.
Is that character normally in the comic books?
I think... No, maybe, like, maybe I'm wrong.
I thought they created her for the show.
She has a half-sister. Like, that's... Because she's a...
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm thinking of something else. So she's not normally gay in the TV show, but...
So the only thing I was going to say about it, again, there was no hint of it last season, no mention of it, but there was no mention of her relationship status or really right. last season either.
Right, they didn't show her Facebook page at any point last season.
So she was an open character that they could do this with. Mm. I'm kind of curious how they're going to do it, because it almost feels like they're building to it, like... They're doing the evolution of someone becoming gay, which is a very dangerous precedent to set. It almost feels like
I don't think they'll. Yeah, that's not.
Well, that's what I'm curious where they're going with this. Like, how long are they going to leave us hanging? Like, she hasn't talked to her half sister at all about the possible feelings she's having for this police detective.
Yeah.
Well, even no matter how close the sisters are, this is probably one of those things where. She probably wouldn't. I mean, it hasn't come up. She hasn't dated anybody. They haven't alluded to her sexuality at any point. So
I picture a scene somewhere a couple episodes down the road where things have come to fruition with her and Maggie, where they've actually are talking about dating or probably went on some secret dates. And she decides to confide in Kara to let her know because she hasn't talked to her about this part of her life ever. And then Alex is like, yeah, I knew that all along.
Mm. Can we discuss one other thing?
Possibly. What other thing?
Okay, so we know in this universe, Lex Luthor is in jail. We know that his sister or stepsister or half-sister, whatever, she took over his company.
Yeah.
And now we know that Olsen's new personal assistant, I guess, is Miss Tessmacher.
Yes. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
I think that's simply a nod to the original Christopher Reeve movies.
Are you sure? Or I'm pretty maybe sure. Maybe Tessmacher is in town to, you know, check up on things for Lex?
I doubt it. First of all, I don't think Tessmacher is canon to the comics necessarily. I thought she was just in the movies. I don't think she was a character derived from the Superman comics.
Well, yeah, but even so, because of the original 78 movie, yeah. she is kind of canon now in a way.
Sure. I just think that they threw that character in simply to have an excuse for Cat Grant to yell that in homage of the original movie, because she yelled it in the same way.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. Miss Tessmacher! So, but still, I mean, they could do something.
They could. I don't think they will, though. Honestly, I don't think we'll see her again now that Kat's gone.
Well, that's true. Like, we haven't seen her since that quick little cameo in that episode.
Yeah, but she's played by Andrea Brooks. So I wonder if, maybe she's only in those two episodes.
Right. I mean, it would be a fun thing to do, to tie her into Lex, but do they want to without actually and they could do it without bringing Lex on, just show her as like, you know, spying on people. But I don't think they thought that far ahead. I think it was just a nod to the movie with her screaming.
See, that's the problem. These writers, they miss all these, they do these stupid things and then they miss these incredible opportunities.
I don't know. I think they took a good opportunity just to have that moment, because very few, it's only us older fans that would even get to that reference in the first place.
Yes, but you have this opportunity to build up this character as, like, you know, more evil than you'd normally think. They could have had her like architecting all these problems throughout the rest of the season until the end where she's revealed as the big bad or something. I mean, so many things they could do.
It's hypothetical. That's a discussion, you know, for another day in the future when we know more. Right. You know, but this is not tomorrow. This is today.
I know.
Right. And you know, Miss Tessmacher is not a legend.
Right. Not so far.
But I'll tell you who is. The Atom.
Not anymore.
Well, they've set him up for a hero's journey.
I mean, come on. Oh, I broke my suit and I'm in a time traveling machine that can take me anywhere to get all the pieces I need to build a new one. Oh, but that's so hard.
I think that's
a sidetrack. They won't have time.
I think the problem with the show, the only real problem with that show is they created this team and they had something for the whole team to do for a handful of episodes last season. And now it's like, okay, we can't figure out how to make this work with all these characters every episode, you know? So
yeah, well, they're in a state right now where the team is discombobulated. It's not what it originally was. It doesn't have its original mission. It has a new mission, and they're trying to figure out how to grapple with that. Who's in charge? Who's, you know, how they manage themselves as a team? And they kind of suck at it.
Very much so.
And where's Rip Hunter?
Lost in time and space somewhere.
Which is part of the mystery for the season. They have to figure that out.
But I mean, did the actor, is he having a baby or something? I mean, did
he... I don't know. Maybe he had something better written that fell into his lap.
Is he having a baby? Yes, he himself is having a baby.
Yep.
Well, you know, he just kind of vanished.
That was the point, I think.
Yeah. You know, I should just check IMDb because, you know, at least if it's not right, it'll still be cool with, you know, telling me like some fictional thing he's involved in.
Or he could be taking a break.
But
he says it's in two. He's in a couple of he's in episodes this season.
Well, think about it.
11,
like,
hologram.
11, 12.
They had him as a hologram, so the actor actually had to there to film those.
We don't actually have that good of hologram technology yet.
I know you like to believe we do, John, but we don't.
You'd be surprised.
But it's a lot cheaper, especially for a CW budget, to just bring him in for a day and shoot a scene on a green screen.
Yes. Yeah. So,
and dial down the opacity.
You know, he'll be back, but I think that's also kind of the point of the season. Again, as we were talking about team building, is they have to figure out what their roles are in the each person. You know, we have... the White Canary, or the character's name.
Lance.
Sarah Lance, Katie Lobbs.
Right, Sarah Lance. Sarah Lance is taking out the leadership role, which I think she fits. I don't think that, honestly, it kind of annoyed me that they did the stumbling of Stein as leader. Like, it just seemed way oversold.
Way stupider? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and just because the Justice Society of America assumed he was the leader because he was the oldest one.
Yeah, and a dude.
That was just silly. And a dude, right.
Which is ironic, since they do have women on the team. Like, you'd think that those sorts of, you know, assumptions.
You would think they would have been more progressive.
I would assume they'd be a little bit more progressive than that.
Even for the 40s, yes. Right, and then, so you got her taking in the leadership role. You have our new character...
Right.
Season. Descendant of crap.
Well, he's Commander Steel.
Commander Steel.
So
he's
a descendant of Steel.
Heywood.
Captain Steel or whatever society. Captain, of America.
You know, right. This is the comic book show. If you word Steel in it, you shall become Steel later on.
It's only a matter of
because that's the way genetics works.
Like a piece of metal with an S on his chest.
Right, and
character kind of a hammer.
And then the next episode will be him being attacked by a flock of lawyers because, you know,
yeah,
copyright and all.
Yeah.
Well, the same. That I don't think that's going to happen. Though, right.
Well, he's not the commander.
Well, that's the whole thing too. When they're just calling him Steel, and it's like, wait a minute.
Right.
I know, but we have a Steel.
Yeah, I think people are trying to
DC
forget him enough already. Yeah.
The character was around for a long time in the comic books. So it's not like
since, early 90s.
Just a bad movie with Shaq doesn't mean we have to forget the character altogether. But yes, I brought him up quickly
time is
because
not on our
we're,
side.
You know, we're running a little long, and we've been talking. No, time is not on our side. We've been talking about
McMuffins,
and him getting his power was a bit of a McMuffin, which I have a feeling. Yeah. They're going to use again.
There's no guarantee
and it's just
that
like,
they're going to do that. I can see, now that what's his face? Ray Palmer is quote unquote powerless. He may, because he had designed that formula for himself, he may consider trying to replicate it for his own use. but I'm not gonna say that that's a guarantee. Like he may, like John had said, they may actually find a way to like rebuild the suit, but a better version, a Mark II, you know.
I was gonna say maybe they'll take this opportunity to make him into the classic Adam and stop ripping off Iron Man.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that is another route they could go. He could go with a semi hybridization in that he builds himself a much leaner exosuit that looks less like Iron Man, but also finds a way to imbue himself with the shrinking ability natively, so he doesn't have to use a suit to do it.
Right. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's just, but then it becomes, well, yeah. Why can't you just inject everyone with some kind of serum now to give them, you know, like they covered that in the Marvel universe where the person who creates Captain America gets killed and the whole and the whole process of creating a super soldier kind of gets lost with him, you know? So for reasons, but it's a little bit better than, yes. They now I figured out the new super soldier serum. And I can inject anyone I want.
Or something like that, a super serum. I don't know. We'll see. If they leave it alone, they leave it alone. I think that the bigger issue coming is how they're teasing at bringing the Legion of Doom together. And I'm curious how that's going to play out over the next couple weeks, because I think that's supposed to be a big part of the crossover event. And personally, I don't know about you guys, but I find it kind of oddly ironic that we're going to end up with a team versus team situation where on the good guy team, you have Heatwave, and on the bad guy team, you have Captain Cold. Yeah.
Right, right. We were talking about this earlier, and it's going to be, how are they going to explain it? You know, they've been friends for a long time.
Well, maybe in this timeline, they've never met or something.
Gloss over that, right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be tough to explain that.
Right.
You know, and
or is it Captain
Cold from an alternate Earth?
He could come from the Flashpoint new history where maybe they didn't meet. But because the Legends were sort of time traveling already, they were immune to the effects of the Flashpoint paradox. So Rory remembers him and their time together, but he doesn't remember Rory.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it would. And then it would be, you know, so that's giving the hero.
Yes, it's a hero's dilemma.
Angst about having to fight him. There you go. So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting. I we'll have yet to see how they pull it off. They haven't found him yet and brought him in.
Yeah, they're probably going to wait a while and my guess is their main priority right now is to jump around colorful eras of history for our amusement and benefit, and sort of slowly come around to the real plot line.
Right. And of course, they know there's a rogue time traveler the Legends do, but they don't know
that's a person
at this point
to be looking for. So, although we do have the mystery message from Future Barry, whatever that is.
It's probably along the lines of plot lines suck.
Which
there's not a bigger McMuffin than 2056 Barry telling us about some threat or issue that the lid.
And there's only, and for those who are DC fans, they know there's only one significance to the year 2056 DC universe.
I'm looking it up.
They alluded to that in Young Justice. In Young Justice, that's the time frame that Impulse comes from, where the world is, you know, in this hellscape of destruction that he's trying to reverse by saving the Flash as well as the other guy, the villain. Not really villain, but the guy who was exploding.
We could see Bart Allen, is what you're saying.
We could see.
So it's.
Well, maybe they'll resist that impulse, but I don't
think
they
will. That's the time Bart
Right.
Now, I think they're trying to introduce every possible speedster they can.
Yeah, but they introduced, what's his name? What was his stupid name?
The Rival?
The Rival, yeah. The Rival! I'm done.
Right, they called him the Rival. He just said that he had no rival and didn't give himself a name. Yeah. But they're
apparently also introducing, his rival was bad writing. So
they're also introducing Savitar this season, and there's the possibility that we may see the Black Racer. So
You know, again, there are ways to make villains much more powerful against Barry by using simple logic and being smart about it rather than having to have each one of them be another speedster.
Yeah.
I mean, I sound like I'm getting down on these shows, but I'm not.
Well, that's the thing, though. Long-running DC formula. This is not new thinking. Like, this has always been sort of the way they've worked. You know, you have to throw strong men at them. You have, you know, a master detective. You throw, you know, cunning and crazy at him. You know, you have a speedster. You throw speedsters at him. That's kind of been, you know, you have a woman. You throw women at them. Like, it's kind of, you have someone who can breathe water. Throw someone who can breathe water
throw
at them.
Throw a fish at him.
Right.
So if they bring the Black Racer in, are they going to have him in the black suit where he's like looks like a zombie underneath, or will they have the character on skis?
The reason that people
you had to think about that one, you had to swallow that down. That didn't go well.
The reason that people have alluded to the Black Racer as being a rumored thing is because of the way that they showed Zoom being taken out by the time wraiths at the end of last season. He ended up essentially looking like Black Racer before he disappeared.
Right. And they could actually use the time wraiths as an explanation to bring the Black Racer in. It could be a particular time wraith. It'll be interesting if they do. And I just want to see him on skis. That's all I'm saying. You're going to do it. Do it right.
Make sure
if he's on skis that he's, you know, he's in one hand, he's got a Happy Meal.
So how do you do... Now that, you know, just to kind of bring this
like
to head,
because we're out of time.
We've run kind of long and we could have probably spent an hour on each show. How do you do a crossover on all four of these shows? Do you do like three characters? Yeah. Like, because that's the whole thing. Legends is a team.
Right.
And a team of heroes. So you have to include all of them. And then you have Flash. Do you include the team Flash going to, you know, onto this other show or just Barry, and then what about Arrow?
Yeah, you know what happens?
All of the real superheroes
are rendered useless. So all three of the super hackers get together and form Skynet and take out the bad guy.
Yeah, well, I think the real solution is they need to bring in the Russo brothers to write this crossover event.
Oh, yay.
And then it'll be brilliant.
And make sure you get Zimmer to do the
music.
Are you saying you don't have faith? Are you saying you don't have
I'm
faith
saying
in
I
Berlanti?
Don't, it's not anything against Berlanti, per se.
You sure?
It's given... No, it isn't anything against him in particular. My concern... I'm sure he has an idea, and I'm sure it could even be a good idea. But my concern is that he can't write all of it. There's got to be other writers involved. There's got to be other directors involved, you know, to stage all this out. And there's bound to be some plot holes that are left unaddressed. And there's bound to be some things that will leave us going, I wouldn't have gone. And that's why we do what we do here. Why we, you know, put on our capes every week and have these conversations. Yes.
Yeah. And just to pick out for people listening to this, if you've like actually managed to get this far, let's just put this on the table.
Hey.
Okay, it sounds like we're ripping a lot of these things apart, but they are damn entertaining, and we watch them because of all the attempts at shows like this over the last couple of decades. These have been the best, and they share the universe, which makes it more interesting because you get the crossovers and everything, and it's the TV equivalent of the Marvel cinematic universe, and it's fun, and we like them. We like them all.
Yeah.
Except for Gotham. Gotham can just, yes, I know. Gotham can just die in a fire.
And you know what would help with that so much? If the CW was allowed to make a real freaking Batman show, even a Robin show. I would even take a Nightwing show. Just something to acknowledge that universe exists.
I do have a question about that. I mean, they were afraid to touch Superman.
Well, again, I think they finally sort of got the message.
We got a
that
Superman.
The second screen can be its own thing. Like, they already had the paradox with the Flash, you know, no pun intended, that they knew they were doing a big screen Flash, but they already had this show that was burgeoning and successful on the CW, so they couldn't put that genie back in the bottle. So I think because while there has been minor backlash around it, you know, around Ezra Miller's portrayal per se, mm-hmm. Which mostly is Zack Snyder's fault right now, but the fact of the matter is, it doesn't seem like it's causing their bottom line to suffer by having these confusing parallel worlds.
And no, so the because, writing is the reason why it suffers. So,
right, yeah. Exactly. So that being said, they can swallow that pill and say, all right, well, if the parallelism isn't going to be a problem for the fans, if it's just a writing issue, you know, we'll just throw money at it. But we won't be greedy about the licensing. So I think that's why they're allowing those floodgates to open. The problem is, as long as Gotham exists as a show, I don't think we'll ever see a small screen Batman in the near future.
I know, right. Because they probably control the TV rights so, to it. Fox.
We're just going to have to deal with, if they ever do the Crisis on Infinite Earths, it's going to be whatever the Owlman equivalent to Green Arrow is, will be the arbiter of it.
Oh, boy. You mean we're going to... We'll do Crisis on Infinite Earths, and they'll just include the...
the evil version?
Yeah.
Henry Cavill will be the evil Superman, the Uberman.
I thought Brandon Routh,
but he was decent.
All we need is for Dr. Manhattan to show up and wave his hand and make it all one universe and get rid of Henry Cavill and get rid of all the stuff we don't like.
You can't do that on television.
Exactly. All right, good. All right. Yes. One thing before we wrap it up this week, boys and girls, we have a couple, well, at least one announcement. If you got this far, as John said in this episode,
why we don't then
you
know,
must be a fan of what we do here. So we're asking. So again, if you've been listening to the show for as long as we've been doing it, going on 3.5 years now, you know, we're thankful for all of our fans who. You know, listen to us every week. But now we need help. You know, we want to bring the podcast to the next level. And there's a lot of stuff we have planned, a lot of things we really want to do going forward. But that takes money. So if you find it in your heart, we have started a Patreon. And, you know, there's rewards already set up if you for our different levels. And it's patreon.com/superheroespeak. The link is on our website, and it will be in the notes of the episode. So if you want to donate a dollar or so to us, you know, head on over and become a Patreon, and we'll greatly appreciate it.
And if you again, can't find it in your heart, there'll be
great rewards for those who...
Ish.
Isn't that kind of what I said? Ish. So, yes. And speaking of big things that we want to do, and we don't have a lot of details on it yet, but we have been invited... as guests to the Finger Lake Comic Con in February in upstate New York. And so we're going to be there podcasting and talking to people. And
you mean as
a
we
lot
get...
more details will be revealed as we get closer.
as the event draws near.
So as the event draws near, we will be doing at least one. I think they want us to do two panels. And the guests for those have yet to be determined. So, you know, if you're in the Finger Lake area... and you go to the convention, please, you know, or even if you don't go to the convention, come to the convention this year.
And it,
check
and
it out.
The organizers, don't clue them in as to who we really are, because we actually want to do the panel.
Oh, John. So, that being said, boys, thanks for listening. And as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.